Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Show number 92. Welcome to Why Fish Radio this week, folks. Your trusty hosts, Brad and Brad, back with you this week. Brad, how you doing in this fine, frigid weather we're having outside?
Well, I tell you what, we're definitely in transition here. I was just thinking about that before we went on. It was 1 week ago tonight, you and I were sitting out in a boat on the Red Lake River. It was just an absolutely beautiful evening, light jacket kind of weather, warm fall evening. You thought, Jesus, this is going to be around for a while. And now we're sitting here, I think the low tonight is supposed to get down to 12 degrees. We have snow on the ground. It's moving big time into winter mode, and it's coming on just maybe a little bit too fast for my tastes.
Yeah, you know, Sunday I was out at Devil's Lake and with just some situations and some hunting coming up, was putting boats away and winterizing and changing gear lube and all that fun stuff. And as I was pushing them into the garage along the back wall and up the corner, I was, you know, 55 degrees and a light wind. I was feeling, you know, kind of sad. You know, what am I doing putting my boats in on a day like today? And just, you know, almost, like I said, sad. And Monday at about lunchtime, well, boy, you know, putting those boats in just wasn't such a bad idea, I guess.
Well, it was amazing how fast that weather changed Monday morning, because I was up in northern Minnesota at the getaway and we were doing some grouse hunting. And I got up that morning and looked, and, you know, I'd seen some forecasts earlier about, you know, rain turning to snow. And it was actually, it was sunny out. There was, you know, some cloud cover, but it was real light cloud cover. There was blue sky underneath. And I thought, geez, this isn't so bad. And went online to take a quick look at the weather report. And it was like, you know, whatever you're doing, start changing your plans real fast, because they're talking 4 to 8 inches of snow. And you know, sure enough, by mid-afternoon, winter had arrived with a vengeance, it seemed like. And, of course, Devil's Lake area where you were, it arrived just that much faster. So you probably got those boats put away just in time.
Yeah, I suppose I should have been out plowing, but. Well, I'm not going out there. Anyway, enough about putting boats away in the depression of that. We've got, you know, we're in the transition period. Our traffic is obviously showing it. So, I mean, let's get right down to what we're going to be doing. It's deer hunting here on for the next, well, 4 weekends, I guess, considering you have to do some work on the Minnesota opener.
Absolutely. And you know, it's when you talk about deer hunting, you throw muzzle loading into the mix, and you could be hunting nonstop right now until, you know, well into December. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, and it's a great time to be doing it, because deer populations, both in North Dakota and Minnesota here, and certainly in several other states, are, you know, at or near all-time highs. There's just a lot of deer out there right now, and it's, you know, it's pretty important for hunters to trim off a few of them to, you know, reduce the amount of collisions on the roads and you know, just kind of get those numbers down a little bit. It's a great form of recreation. It's a great tradition. And it's, you know, I still would have to say personally, I look at it as kind of a transition between something that tied me over until the big hard water time comes. And that's not far away.
Well, I'm a little different. I really enjoy my deer hunting. And unfortunately, I have to move right in the middle of it, which is going to raise a little cane with the scheduling. But I'll deal with it, I'm sure. But, you know, you were mentioning muzzleloader season, and I was just quick thinking back to 2003, which was the first year I started fishing with you. But that year, I deer hunted 10 weekends in a row. I had 6 weeks of between muzzleloader and rifle, and 4 weeks before that, of archery season, and I ended up bagging 6 deer that year.
I remember that. As I recall, you got rid of pretty much all of them too. I mean, I remember some noontime gatherings at your house, you know, grilling up venison steaks and everything else. And you know, especially in your situation where the only one in the house that'll touch it, it's pretty impressive to be able to get rid of that many deer. But, you know, those opportunities are out there, and, you know, if you like doing that, more power to you.
Well, by the end of it, I was burned. My flair for deer hunting is definitely not there anymore. I mean, to just drag it out like that. the biggest problem with archery is my prime piece of land has been sold, so I don't have access to it anymore. And I've discovered October fishing, which really cuts into my archery time.
It cuts into archery time. It cuts into hunting time. I found that bug, you know, much earlier than you did. It's been, you know, upwards of 10 years now. But fall fishing, I've often maintained, and I guess, you know, you've seen it for yourself to a certain extent this year, that if you're looking for a big fish, especially we're talking walleyes or, you know, it, definitely muskies and species like that too. But if you're looking for a big fish, October, fall time is a pretty good time to do it.
Yeah, so I got 3 tags this year. You got 2 tags, and you know how I operate. I've got 2 doe tags, and those are meat tags, and then I've got one that's just horn hunting, for lack of a better term. Is if it's not for the wall, I'm probably not going to pull the trigger unless we're down to the wire in the 11th hour and I haven't got a deer not hanging up yet. Then all bets are off.
Well, let's prognosticate a little bit here and see what might happen, because as I recall looking back on last year, there are a couple of spots we hunted that I know of, two very, very impressive bucks that just might have your name on them. Any predictions on maybe one of those coming home with you this year?
If the shot presents itself, absolutely one of them's coming home with me this year. Last year, you got your first deer right when I was getting ready to what could have been the shot. It wasn't a good shot. I'll be the first to admit it wasn't a good shot. But this year, I'll be a little quicker to pull the pin. And if we got 2 deer down, we got 2 deer down. We'll just deal with it.
Absolutely. I just remember seeing that thing coming out, and that rack was unbelievable. And I was kind of waiting. There was a doe in the background. And of course, all I had was a doe tag, so I was kind of waiting to get a shot to present itself there. But I just remember hollering, shoot, shoot. And, I mean, that was a, you know, in Minnesota, we'd call it a 12-point buck. I guess over here in North Dakota, they'd call it a 6x6. But either way, any way you want to talk about it, that was a very large deer. And I, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that that thing had a rack, you know, as impressive as anything I would have seen all last fall.
Well, and you were there when I let that little 5x5 go, but, you know, how many people would not have hesitated to pump him full of lead?
Well, especially when it's standing broadside looking at you, they're just saying, you know, shoot me, shoot me. It was, you know, pretty much a gimme shot, but I tell you what, when especially if you're a buck hunter, you know, why not be a little bit selective? I mean, I think there's too many hunters out there, and, you know, we're certainly digressing off the fish topic here a little bit, but we're in transition mode here right now, so we're allowed to stray some. But, I mean, there's too many hunters out there that just get the idea that, well, you know, I shot a buck, so that makes me a pretty good hunter. You know, never mind the fact that it's just a four-corn or a little basket rack that's mediocre on its best days. You know, why not just let that go? It's almost like the catch-and-release equivalent of fishing. You know, pass them up and let them grow.
Well, like I said, I've got 2 doe tags, and those are for meat, and I'm going to hopefully make quick work of them. But if we're coming down to the 11th hour and those doe tags aren't filled, if a little four-corn runs out of the weeds, he's got just as much chance of getting lead in him as a doe running out of the weeds, because at that point I'm hunting for the freezer, not for the wall. But in a perfect case scenario, we will be... The does are going to go first, and then I can be selective about the horns. And, you know, North Dakota, $20 tag, I'll take my chances looking for that taxidermy bill.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like I say, just knowing what's out there, having seen a couple of those bucks last fall and, you know, having a pretty good idea that they're probably still there, there's some impressive possibilities there. So, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I'm sure Jason DeZeal, my taxidermist, would just love having a fish and a deer in there from me.
And, you know, he probably should have had a greenback there too, judging by that fish I saw there that you caught up at Lockport.
It wasn't 12 pounds. It's not good enough yet. You've said that one before, I believe.
I've said it. I know, absolutely. But, you know, I'm already practically counting the days till that trip we're taking up to Lockport. I guess it's probably more like Selkirk than Lockport, but old habits die hard. And we're looking at doing that right around the 10th of December, and I think we're going to be able to do it. I think with the weather we're having right now, the old Red up there is going to be frozen over fairly early. I know Stu up at Cats on the Red has been talking that, you know, maybe, and it's, you know, it's purely speculation, but given present weather patterns, he's thinking that he might be able to walk out on the river at some point, in certain places at least, as early as our Thanksgiving, which would be pretty impressive. But boy, there's really cause for excitement based on the fall they had up there.
Yeah, and, you know, you're sitting here talking about how excited you are, and I'm talking about how excited. But there's a certain young gentleman that's going to be joining us, and his excitement tops both of us together and then some about that trip. And that's not even only from us talking anymore. That's from other people telling stories to him as well.
Well, you want to talk about fever. That's a classic case. And, you know, that's a pretty cool thing because, I mean, that's, you know, there's sort of a fraternity, I guess, of all of us that are into this little game. And, you know, we're all in it for the, you know, I think the same reason. It's just the pure enjoyment of being out there. But at the same time, when you can have a shot at a big fish, no one's going to turn it down. And you know, we've talked about this many times that there's just not many places where you have a shot at a big fish like you do up on that Manitoba side of the Red. And, you know, in terms of walleyes, the coloration of those fish, those greenbacks, just blows me away. I just marvel at those fish every time I see them. So, I mean, I've actually caught myself, and I hate to admit this, but I had a dream about ice fishing the other night. And I don't remember, as I recall, it had something to do with the fact that the ice was not thick enough quite yet at that point. We had to make a mad dash to get off in time. But it was fairly vivid, and it was within the past few nights, so there's no doubt it's on my mind.
Can't say I've done that.
Well, you probably have. You just don't remember it.
Yeah, well, I dream about some crazy stuff anyway.
We better just leave it at that.
I got it. Okay, you brought this up, and I'm going to have to go back a few shows to last year before we went to Lockport. Two nights before we went to Lockport ice fishing last year, I had a dream that we were sitting in Canuck's 18-foot Lund boat. We pushed it out on the ice,
right. Yep.
And we drilled the holes along the side of the boat, and we were ice fishing out of the boat on the Red River. And he still makes fun of me for that dream.
But I remember that one now that you mentioned it. You know, I guess in my case, another one that comes to mind, and this is many years ago, I was coming back from a trip to Lake of the Woods, and this was back in the days when everyone just put a bobber on their line and you know, kind of hoped for the best. You know, the Vexlars and, you know, the electronics hadn't really caught on to the extent they have now. But I remember getting back, it was fairly late on a Sunday night, I'd been up at Lake of the Woods for the weekend, and it had been a pretty good weekend. That bobber had been sinking pretty regularly, caught a lot of fish. And I was laying on the couch and was kind of in that half awake, half asleep sort of daze, you know, state that you find yourself in from time to time. At least I find myself in that state from time to time. And somehow I guess I apparently started dreaming about a bobber sinking, and I made a mad lunge for this bobber, and the next thing I know, I'd fallen off the couch and was laying on the floor. And it was one of those times where I was glad at that point that I lived alone, because if anybody would have seen me at that point, they would have thought I'd completely lost it.
Well, I dreamt about after that night we had the 48 fish night in Lockport, and a few beverages afterwards going to bed, I recall waking myself up in the bed, setting the hook. I was laying on my back, and I literally set the hook right in bed.
Good times, and I tell you what, man, that's what it's all about. I mean, we've been really blessed. We've been really lucky to be able to do some of these things. And you know, we're sitting here right now. Before we went on, we're kind of thinking, well, geez, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to fill space with right now? Because, you know, we're in a rut in terms of fishing opportunity. It's, you know, there might be another boat trip or two if you're in the right place at the right time. Even as soon as this weekend, it might be warm enough in our part of the world where you could get out on a boat, but those days are really numbered. So, you know, it's transition time. We talk about it time and time again, but I'm not totally chomping at the bit for winter yet at the same time, I guess I am looking forward to it. And I mean, there are some pretty neat things. We got the trip to Selkirk Lockport coming up. We've got that big new penthouse we need to try out. You know,
need to assemble.
Well, and that's going to be the real adventure, and it's going to be a multiple beverage event, I'm sure, down in a buddy's basement. But I think when it happens, it's going to be really quite impressive. I'm looking forward to fishing in it. I know that.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, Frable really outdid themselves with those seats, and I think I got it figured out how to convert those to the Red Boat next year, by the way. So we're going to have some good seats in the boat again.
Oh, yeah, we'd be styling for sure. And, you know, what else is coming up down the horizon?
Well, you know, talking about dreams and talking about that, I think the best way to wrap the subject up is how I end my column in the newspaper back home, which is get outside and make some memories. And That should pretty much finish that subject.
Oh, yeah,
right there.
Yeah, say no more. I mean, Jesus, look back on what we've done just since we started this show and just in the past year. I mean, it's been just an incredible ride, just a lot of fun. And, you know, I have friends who get out fishing maybe once or twice a year, and the only reason they probably even go in the first place is because I drag them out. And I just think about what they're missing. And
when's the last time you drugged me anywhere?
Well, yeah, no kidding. You know, you know, like minds think alike, I guess. But, you know, I just think what a boring life that would be not to be doing this on a regular basis. I couldn't do it because I just love it too much.
Yep. Guess what? We're pushing the 16-minute mark.
Hey, we did it. We surpassed 15. I was thinking if we did 10 this week, we'd be doing good. But, you know, we are a couple of windbags here. And after 92 shows, you get pretty good at it.
What do we got coming up? But you know what? We're going to talk about transition next week. I can guarantee it again. I'm sure we'll share some more stories and talk about stuff. It's just that time of year. I mean, we're our minds are in other places, as they should be. I'm sure we'll talk about new ice fishing gadgets coming up here besides houses and new Vexilars and various things in the future. But, you know, that's it. I guess we're right at the 16-minute mark, and I'm gonna say it again. Get outside and make some memories. Before you do it, go to todaystackle.com, catsontheread.net, trophycatadventures.com. Plan your next vacation, buy your next gadget, toy, whatever, and help you make that memory.
Absolutely, and I think that pretty much says it all. So until next time, this wraps up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. And until next time, as I said before, keep your line. Oh, man.
Hook in
the
water.
It was bound to happen.
Okay.
Let me try it again. Nope. I'll get this right yet. Keep your hook in the water. Keep your line tight. And most of all, keep it fun. Ha. There I made.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.